just like to also make another practical application. Everybody has a response to God's word. Whether you're a believer, whether you're brought up in a Christian home or in whatever kind of home, whether you heard the word of God before or not, you have a response to what God's standards are, which are outlaid in God's word. These people didn't have the word of God until they heard it read now. I mean, they had it, but they never read it. But when they heard it read, they realized how far away they were from the standard that is set in God's word. And for us, we are privileged to have God's word. It's so readily available, as has been said. But what is our response? We could say, well, I didn't know that this is what God wants me to do. It doesn't change the standard. And our response is, it is most likely wrong if we don't know what the standard is. So it's an encouragement for each of us to search the scriptures and to put ourselves under this responsibility, because there's much privilege in knowing God's word. But to know for certain that, you know, God's word has a standard set, and we really need to be under that standard.
How are we doing so far? Anybody sleeping yet?
Awake and alert,
taking it in.
The end of verse 12 says that there was a lot of rejoicing when they had understood the words of the law. We find in this chapter twice that the people are rejoicing, at least twice. Once after they understand the words, and once after they obey the words. And again, application to us, you know, it's a wonderful thing to be able to have God's word before us, and the living word that we've been speaking about, and to be able to understand it, and to be able to have the Spirit of God in our own quietness, not necessarily in big, you know, Bible studies, but in our own quietness, to be able to open the word and say, I don't understand this, and then the Spirit of God brings it home to us and explains to us what thing we might have been struggling with, and all of a sudden there's great rejoicing. There's great rejoicing to understand, you know, the mind of God. And then there's great rejoicing later in this chapter, at the end of verse 17, there was a lot of gladness. It says there was very great gladness having obeyed what they read. I think we want to move on to verse 13. Because now this all happened on one day, and now it says there was a second day, and there was gathered together the chief priests of the fathers of all the people, the priests and the Levites, unto Ezra the scribe, even to understand the words of the law. So this is not, I don't get the sense here that this was everybody. This was just maybe those that had a position of responsibility, had a position of ability to understand and be able to teach others also, as we find in Timothy. So there was a second day, and one of the things that I think we get from this is the fact that, you know, it wasn't enough to just come under the sound of the word one day. They wanted to come back again and have the ability to have a greater understanding. And they came back to Ezra the scribe again, even to understand the words of the law. That it was never sufficient. There was no point that they said, okay, we reached this point and now we understand everything and we can just go live on our lives. No, they had to come back again the second day. The chiefs of the fathers, maybe we can have some help with exactly who those were, but just people of responsibility, and they come back and they want to understand further the words of the law. There was, again, having had the word of God open before them, there was a desire to have more of it. And that's one of the things that happens. When you stop reading the word, it becomes old and it becomes stale, even though it's not. But that's the feeling that we have. But once we start reading it again, it becomes alive, and we want to come back to it because the Lord shows us new and interesting things every time we read it.
Dave, do you mind if I just go back one second? Okay, this will be short. But there's an encouragement that Nehemiah gives to the people that I think we just want to bring out before we go over it. And we've heard much about the authority of the Word of God, much about the reading of the Word of God and how that it applies. We've heard that it's important that not only do we read and listen and are attentive to it, but that then there is a willingness on our part to respond, and that it has an effect in our daily lives, that we're obedient to it, walking in it. And Nehemiah gives an encouragement here at the end of verse 10 to the people. And they are convicted by the word that is read. And this is a godly conviction. And the Spirit of God is working in the heart because of the living word. And yet, Nehemiah says to them, "The joy of the Lord is your strength." And here is an encouragement that we need to take. And let's even for ourselves try to make a practical application. This applies to not only them, but this applies to us every day here for you and I. The joy of the Lord is our strength. The people had failed. They had been far away from the law of God, so much so that that God had taken and allowed them to go into captivity. And now they're coming back and they're hearing the word, and they have realized their failure. And yes, confession is necessary, but he brings before them the joy of the Lord. Where is the strength for us to stand in an evil day? When our hearts are filled with the things of this world, then we, as we've just said, the word gets set aside, it's put on the shelf, and we're occupied with all the cares of this life. And some of those cares, young people, aren't wrong in themselves. That can be my job. I got to study. It's my school. And I've got all these different things. But all of a sudden, we found that this has displaced the Lord in our lives. And the word has been set aside. Well, then those things have taken God's place. And that's when they become wrong. But here he gives the encouragement, the joy of the Lord. If we're joying in the Lord, joying in his word, joying in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the reality of who he is, God's beloved son, what he has done for me, the place of blessing that I have been brought into, and to appropriate for myself those things that he's given me freely to appropriate for myself by the Spirit of God teaching them to me. The joy of the Lord is my strength. This is where we'll find strength and power to go forth and to make those decisions and to walk in a way that is holy unto the Lord. For this is the sign of spiritual life in me, is that my life displays the character of Christ. And that's for others to see and for the testimony of Christ as individuals, as collectively, as we move around in the world, that he's not one of the world, not of the world, but of Christ. And so to find our joy in him, and this is where we'll find strength, is to be joying in the Lord. And the joy of the Lord is our strength.